Benny, the joking skeleton taxi driver, was actually a robot, like an animatronic. I'm like, no shit.
But it wasn't a real skeleton.
Yeah, apparently not.
Halloween Town's a bunch of shit. Hello, everyone, and welcome in to another spooky edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
Bay Tiki Ma, Bay Tiki Fear, Bay Tiki Fane, Gleedith Plethum Gnorth Bid and At.
Did you remember that because you made it into a song?
Because
it sounded pretty?
It sounded pretty, and I, you know, just placed it with things in Pittsburgh, you know, Gnorth side.
And then, indeed, over there joining me as always, Gus, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory. And hey, you know, we promised on the Factory Filler episode that we would be doing Halloween Town before Halloween. And hey, you ghosts and ghouls out there, here it is, Halloween Town episode in it. So with that being said, if you're new here to the show, what we do every week is we watch a film, we then take to the pod to discuss said film, what we liked, what we didn't, what worked, what didn't, and then we take that film and we submit it to the factory. That's where we take the film we just watched and we play a little game with it. Maybe we imagine what it would look like with modern booking. So take the same film, same story, but imagine what it would look like with modern day actors or directors or composers. Or perhaps we take a animated film and imagine what it would look like live, maybe live, or maybe just play a little game here and there, and then we close out the show. It's a fun old time, and hey, maybe you're not into movies, but maybe you'll just like our sultry tones and our ghoulish talk. So with that being said, Halloween Town, our Halloween spooky season coming to an end, and what better film to close things out than a true Halloween family classic?
Indeed. I mean, This show has definitely become one of nostalgia, if it hasn't always been, but definitely leaning heavy into personal stories and feelings and things like that, and not more, especially when it comes to spooky time, nothing more nostalgic to me than Halloween Town.
It's funny, because like, I remember growing up, we may have mentioned this on the podcast before, but especially around Halloween time, I hated Halloween time because I was a scaredy cat, but also because you really enjoyed it and you liked watching horror films and I did not. Mm-hmm. We only had one TV with satellite on it. So, you would always watch them. I'm pretty sure we've probably mentioned this every Halloween time, but you'd watch them. I'd sit beside the TV, play with my toys, but Halloween Town was something that I would watch every year. And then I don't know when it was, but I never, like, I just kind of forgot about Halloween Town. And I remember it was actually my, like, ninth grade girlfriend was like, Halloween Town's on tonight. And I'm like, oh, boy. And, like, that was, like, the first I had thought about it in years. And I think it was probably ever since I started dating my wife, we've watched it every single Halloween without fail.
You know, I saw on like a Reddit it was called like movies I thought were made up, or movies I thought I made up, something like that. Like, forgot they existed kind of thing. You know, Brave Little Toaster's on there, Little Nemo's on there, and Halloween Town was on there. And I was like, eh, I mean, that it's someone's list, it's subjective, but for a while. Yeah, even though it is a franchise, technically, this one was, like, forgotten for a little bit. Not long, but there was a period of time where people forgot about this movie. But it's, like, my generation now in their 30s are, like, Halloween Town.
Yeah, and then you watch it and you're like, this movie kind of sucks.
You know, I disagree. Like,
you know, it does. Calabar's a piece of shit.
So I was gonna have the lady watch it because she had never seen it before, or like, at least in English.
She's like, I don't know, Gus, it's too scary.
Yeah, you probably would think it's
there's
too
witches
scary.
In that.
Yeah, Calabar would scare the shit out of her.
I'm sorry, real quick, time out. This is just a side note. Gus's lady is a scaredy cat, for lack of a better term. Would you concur?
She'd get afraid of Halloween Town, probably.
And in my, before we were recording tonight, my wife and I were watching The Sixth Sense, and I started laughing to myself the scene where Cole has to go to the bathroom, and he's like staring in the hallway. And I popped into my head about, I remember you telling me, the lady, you made her watch It. And she like scurried through the hallway. I remember you telling me that, like, to go to the bathroom. I was like so scared. She had run. I started laughing at myself because I remembered that. Anyways, continue.
Last night, I'm laying in bed and she's brushing her teeth. And I hear the light switch click off in the hallway. And I just hear someone like booking it.
It's like three steps from your bathroom to your bedroom.
I know. It sounds like a marathon, though. She's so afraid.
She came in like the alien from Signs.
We did see Sixth Sense, and surprisingly, like, that didn't scare her. So
The wife said she didn't think it was that scary. I'm like, you kidding me? There's some creepy shit in that movie.
Yeah. It's so subjective. Just like Halloween Town.
Yeah.
It's subjective. Is it a piece of shit? That's
yeah, pretty subjective. Much. I mean, you watch it and you're like, these Benny animatronics are pretty good.
I was reading some trivia, and Kimberly Brown, who played Marnie in this film, was in an interview recently at like some comic convention, and the trivia read, she announced during a Q&A that Benny, the joking skeleton taxi driver, was actually a robot, like an animatronic. I'm like, no shit.
But it wasn't a real skeleton.
Yeah, apparently
telling me Halloween Town's a bunch of shit.
So that's what it comes down to. Is it a bad movie? Is it not? I was gonna have the lady watch it. She had never seen it. Well, she had when she was really little, but she didn't speak English at the time. And so she was like, I don't know if I really want to watch it though. So I started it on my own. And I was like, I'm gonna spare her from that. But it would be an interesting experiment for anybody. So there's people who grew up with this movie, and more than likely, people who grew up with it, they don't dislike it. They don't hate it, but they probably don't dislike it either. But that's what's interesting. That's the people who grew up with it. The people who've never seen it, that'd be interesting, like modern day, like I'm talking an older person seeing it for the first time. Are they going to like it? Probably not, but I don't think it's a bad movie. I think it's very cheesy, yeah. And the visual effects are
very, 90s
very
made for TV Disney movie. Like,
hell yeah.
It wasn't made for the Oscars. Like, for your consideration, here's Halloween Town.
But you know, it was nominated for best score.
It does have a really good score. That's the thing that's stuck
that's,
with
that's,
me.
That's also a lie, but it is a flammer.
Fuck me, huh? It's actually, did you know this? This is some trivia you might not have known. It's actually co-written by John Carpenter.
Nah.
I was seeing if I could get you too.
I was listening. That theme song plays a lot throughout
it's
this
like
movie.
The only piece of music in the movie.
And man, oh man, there's like fucking like train horns. What do you call that? Like,
yeah.
I'm like, they're using that as an instrument. This thing fucks hard.
Yeah, it slaps. But no, I mean, the movie honestly has a pretty cool premise. It's, you know, three kids. You have the oldest sister, who's kind of not an outcast, so to speak, but is on pins and needles with her mother, in terms of not really getting along very well, because she wants to go out on Halloween. Her mother says no. There's the little sister, who's just excited to be there. And then you have the middle child, the brother, who is just very, how would you put it, a douche?
say an asshole.
Yeah, he's very much just like the know-it-all brother there to be kind of the exposition, like the person they explain stuff to, but also like be you, like the person who doesn't believe this is all real. It's like, ugh. He's up there with some of my least favorite characters of all time, right there with Benny from The Mummy. Is his name Benny
from The Mummy?
Is his name Benny? What is his name? Yeah, he's annoying.
Okay.
I don't like him.
I mean, yeah, I was thinking that too in this movie. This brother is like unredeemable.
Yeah, he's like unnecessarily like, oh, Dylan. It's like, you don't need him. He's nobody.
He consistently like never lets up with just like his. The younger brother isms, like teasing his older sister, like oh yeah, you're not normal. Like it's a lot of that kind of tone. Like, and then everyone's just like, shut up. Like back off.
Even his mom at one point's like, shut up. I wanted to come in. He comes in for the bedtime story, and he's like, I wanted to let you guys know to turn down your thermostats because it's important to conserve energy in the summer months. It's like, fuck you. but I want to make the rated R version of Halloween Town. But that's kind of what we're dealing with here is you have the three siblings, the mother who's kind of overbearing, protective, and then the grandma character played by
Debbie Reynolds,
or Carrie Fisher's mother to the layperson, Princess Leia.
You know, that's actually how she would introduce herself to children on set and in life. She'd be like, I am Princess Leia's mother. That's how she would go about her days. Good.
Nowadays, newer kids would be like, oh.
You mean General Organa?
You mean Mary Poppins? When she does like the Last Jedi.
Gotcha.
The grandmother comes to visit, and she's a witch, and she wants to take Marnie, the eldest sister, is going to be turning 13, and if she does not begin her training, she will lose her ability to use magic for the rest of her days. And Marnie doesn't know that she's a witch. None of the kids know anything about Halloween Town or anything like that, and they ultimately choose to stalk their grandmother and work their way to Halloween Town, or as Dylan likes to call it, a bus coming back from a costume party.
Makes sense. Yeah, the mother, she just wants a normal life for her kids. She grew up in Halloween Town, fell in love with a human, and lives a normal life, and she wants a normal life for her kids. She doesn't want her kids knowing the paranormal and the supernatural and all those things. So she's more than happy to let her, Marnie's time frame of powers fly by. But Marnie feels like an outcast. She's 13 years old. She's feeling angsty, but she's also feeling a little different because she is different. She's a witch, damn it. They follow their grandmother back to Halloween Town, and they get to experience this wonderful world of monsters and ghouls and ghosts. But that was the cool part of this premise. Not only just that, it was what if all these things that a lot of society has these preconceived notions that they're awful, what if they were just normal beings? Kind of like, it's like kind of like we are, whatever.
It's like
kinda
Harry like Potter, but if it was monsters. Like there's a wizarding world and the real world. A monster world and a real
exactly
world.
And it was like if they were in costumes too.
Have like the real monster faces and then just regular human hands that aren't even like colored anything different.
I know
there's a scene toward the end, I don't know if you noticed this or not. If you didn't, go back and watch it. It's really jarring if you notice it. But when they're trying to get the fang of the vampire, and the dentist pulls the tooth, if you look, and you don't even have to look hard, all they did was color her tooth black, so you can see like where the tooth was quote unquote pulled. It's just a regular tooth that's colored black.
Damn you, HD.
Yeah, like. Just go back and watch that. She's like, I couldn't feel a thing. And then she starts laughing, and you can just see she has a black tooth.
I will have to rewatch that. part.
It's so clear. It's like when you see the eyeballs inside of like Michelangelo's mouth.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, speaking of Michelangelo, the mother in this movie, she played April O'Neil in that first Ninja Turtles movie.
No shit. I thought I knew her from something, but I knew her from this.
So that's what, yeah. You know her from Halloween Town? And you know her from Halloween Town 2, Calabar's Revenge?
Yeah.
And you know her from Halloween Town High? But you also know her from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, 1990. But what you're saying about Dylan being a cuck, I kind of felt this way about the mother, too, in that she's really good. She's also very believable, but her only dialogue is, "I am a strict mother."
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm exhausted listening to you be so, like, angry motherly. Stern motherly.
You do kind of see her side a lot of times. Where it's like, oh, she just wants this normal life for her kids and this, that, and the other. But also, like, once they get to Halloween Town, you're like, it's kind of cool here. Why didn't she just, like, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. It ultimately didn't make much sense. I want a prequel. Make a prequel. Explain.
Yeah, they need to explain why she's so against that stuff. Because, like, that was her life and everything was normal. Maybe they need to play it up like Calabar was an asshole because she used to date this warlock named Calabar who becomes the mayor of Halloween Town.
Yeah.
But maybe he was a bit of a bastard or something. I don't know.
Nah, she liked him. He said, he used to like it. My magic.
Yeah.
He's smooth. I mean, hell, when they go to visit the mayor and that, like, bat comes out of the box and it's like, someone see it, boss. And it's just like a fucking puppet in a box. There's so many moments like that where it's like, yikes.
Yeah. Like a lot of the, even like a lot of the costumes are clearly just masks. You know, there's no emotion in the face or nothing like that.
But the thing is that the characters all make this world very believable and lived in, such as like your broom salesman, who's like an Elvis zombie, which is great. Yeah. And then you have like your ghost when they're trying to get the sweat of the ghost. He's like, scram on back to your mummy. Beat it, kid. I don't like stereotypes.
Yeah.
Like, there's good stuff there. Like, while maybe the costumes aren't as believable, at the same time, that's almost what makes it more fun, because it feels like Halloween. It mm-hmm. feels like you're, like, out trick-or-treating almost watching the movie.
So, like, how cheesy the movie does come off and how dated the effects are, makeup and like CGI stuff, as dated and cheesy as it all is, the charm of this movie outweighs it all. And I enjoy myself so much watching it. I don't have a bad time watching it. I feel good is what I'm trying to say. I feel good watching this movie.
It's a cookies and milk kind of movie.
Oh.
That's the magic words.
Yeah, maybe like candy and cookies, or yeah. Sorry, candy and cookies.
Yeah. Yes.
Fuck the milk.
Yeah. we ate some pumpkin bread watching this movie. So.
Oh yeah, I drank pumpkin beer watching this movie.
That's something too. I think that's what they put in that little the staff thing.
Mm-hmm.
Merlin's staff, whatever they call it.
That's exactly what it is.
But I mean, that's kind of the thing. Even right down to, like, to me, at least, I don't know if this was their intent, but in Halloween Town, like, there's always just people walking around. It's never, like, empty. And it feels mm-hmm. like, again, trick-or-treating. Like, it's just people are always going somewhere and doing something. And it's a very lived-in world,
yeah,
which is cool.
I like that wordage you used for this movie, is it feels lived-in. And it is, and what aids in it is that theme song we mentioned earlier. Because every time I'm thinking of, like, people walking around town, I just hear that, you know. But
what if we took Halloween Town, took all the audio out, and replaced it with Halloween music? Like Halloween's soundtrack by John Carpenter.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
as she's walking around, like, and they're trying to track their grandma.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, I'll say it once more, just so it's definitive. I love this movie. I do, in like the purest form of love. I remember seeing the previews that this movie was going to come out in 1998. You know, and I love its sequel, Halloween Town 2, Calabar's Revenge. But by the time Halloween Town 3 came out, which is called Halloween Town High, that was like 2004. I was like 13 at the time. I felt like I did watch it, but at the time I didn't care for it as much. I just rewatched it this year. It's pretty good. It's you know, it's more of that stuff. But then in 2007, they made Return to Halloween Town. It might have been 2006, but I think it was 2007. It might have been 8. Who knows? And I never watched that garbage, you know, when Kimberly Brown, who was Marnie, got recasted for no reason. Like, you read up on it. She was never even asked to return. They just decided they're going to, you know, pick a fresh face because, you know, at the time she was probably in her 20s. Yeah, they just went a different direction. But I don't know. That burned me. Burned a fan, so I never watched it.
I mean, it doesn't really make sense because they kept the continuity going, and that's what she's known for, is she is of Halloween Town fame. So why take that away? It doesn't really make sense. But
I jokingly said this in the summer with Top Gun Maverick coming out over the summer and becoming one of the most successful movies of all time. And then a lot of like retro things started being announced. Michael Keaton's coming back as Batman. Hocus Pocus 2 is coming out. There's been rumors that Sister Act 3 is in the works. And that was the thing I said, and a lot of people have said this, but because Top Gun did so well, don't be surprised if like the new fad, like when Stranger Things came out, everything became like 80s. Don't be surprised if the new fad is like nostalgia remakes or sequels.
I mean,
continuations
kind of has been that. I mean,
yeah, Cobra Kai and things
Alone
like that.
And stuff like that. Yeah,
yeah. So I said then,
games universe, like that's happening.
I joked that like they're gonna make a new Halloween Town, and Kimberly Brown's gonna come back as Marnie and be like the Aggie Cromwell character. You know, not that Kimberly Brown's a grandmother, but she could be a mother. You know, in a new film. But I digress.
But yeah, I mean, getting back to this film, in general, we talked about how they, you know, wander into this fantastical world, and really the rest of the movie is them kind of trying to adapt. It's kind of revealed that there's something strange going on, a kind of mystery. There's people in Halloween Town that are kind of going feral and then going missing shortly after. There's something evil occurring, Mrs. Cromwell, Aggie Cromwell, the grandmother, is trying to find a way to stop this evil. And so the kids agree that they'll help her. We are introduced to the mayor, who is Calabar, who is an old flame of their mother. Their mother comes to town, and all sorts of, like, the movie's actually relatively short, because as the mother comes to town, you're like halfway, if not a little further than halfway through the movie. Like, the movie wraps up pretty quick once the big conflict happens.
I hadn't seen this movie in a very long time, and I remember a lot of scenes, but I'm like, you know, the evil, we don't really know what its name is. He's scary looking, though.
Yeah, he's got a great look. He's like a scarecrow look.
Yeah, like a scarecrow phantom of sorts.
Yeah.
And I love the setting that he's hiding in. He's in like an abandoned movie theater.
Yeah.
And yeah, as you said, like these beings are like normal, then they're feral, they're mean, and then they disappear. Well, this is where they end up. They end up in this movie theater and they're petrified, frozen.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's what happens to old Aggie Cromwell, as well as Mommy Cromwell. They get Frozen, so it's up to the kids to finish the spell and save the day. And that's where this movie picks up, but it's like the end of the movie, yeah, pretty much.
I was going to say, like, they have to collect all the ingredients, and it's a fun little scavenger hunt where they're, you know, they go get the sweat of a ghost, and they have to get the fang of a vampire and fur of a werewolf. And,
yeah, I like fetch quests things in movies.
Yeah, but it's over shorter than a Rocky montage.
And that's what I'm getting at. Like, I remember all these little scenes, and I'm like watching this movie. I'm like, when's this happen? When's that happen? But yeah, like it after the inciting incident.
Yeah.
Then everything that all these like memories I had of this movie. That's when they happen, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's where we kind of get to like the that's the fun bulk of the film is in that regard, or in that moment of like, that's when the 13. Kids are the main characters at that point. Like, up until that point, they're being introduced, they're learning about the world, they're just kind of there as, again, exposition to the mom and Calabar and even Luke, who's like a bully character that's introduced in Halloween Town. But then that moment, yeah, it's like the kids trying to figure out what they're going to do. You know, what's I've always found interesting is you have Marnie, who's like the main character, right? Or supposed to be the main character. Dylan has a lot of lines. Sophie has a decent amount of lines too, their littlest sister. What I always found interesting is that their littlest sister, Sophie, is almost the most, probably the most important / influential character to the movie, because she does the most important things throughout.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they can't get into the grandmother's house at first, because they need to open this gate with magic, and Marnie can't do it, and she's all like, oh, I'll do it, it'll be easy, and then Dylan can't do it, and then she just opens it up, because I thought about it, and I opened it. She's the one that remembers the spell. She's the one that warns them about Benny when Benny goes bad, who's this skeleton taxi driver. Like, she's actually probably the main character. She's more the main character than people think.
Yeah,
The young Sophie, or Soapy, as Calabar calls her.
Sophie. Yeah, Marnie just like kind of talks herself up a lot. Like, we have a witch in the family. It's me, yeah. me. And like Sophie, like, remembers the spell. She actually does some like off camera magic and shit. And then Marnie's like, look what I did, basically.
Look what I did. I dropped the staff into a pumpkin.
You know, I remember when the second one came out, I was probably 9 years old, and the character of Sophie, or the actress who played her, I had a little bit of a crush on her when I was 9 years old.
Yeah. You did a Full House, because I remember like when I was watching Full House growing up, I'm like, Stephanie Tanner, when I was like a little kid.
Now you're an adult and you're like, Stephanie Tanner.
No, now I'm an adult and I'm like, this show teaches you a lot of great values. I can't wait to show my kid this.
Speaking of great values, the actor who plays Luke, who is like a troll who gets like plastic surgery so he looks like a normal person.
He gets a nose job.
Yeah, he was the original voice of Arnold from Hey Arnold.
He was the original voice of Arnold Schwarzenegger in Predator. He did all what's that called? ADR?
I don't even know if he was alive. Yeah, he was.
I didn't know that. He got replaced, though, I see.
I mean, yeah, he voiced him from like 97 to 2000.
Did he become the voice of the other kid with the big nose? In Arnold?
Yeah, Sid.
Sid, yeah, that one.
Arnold. Hey Arnold is my favorite cartoon of all time.
We just watched the Hey Arnold movie.
The movie or the Jungle one?
The movie, okay. Yeah. We watched it like a couple, right, it was probably about a year ago at this point, maybe a little earlier than that, but, and both my wife and I were like, I don't remember it being this way, but I was like, it's also like, this is toward the end. Like, this isn't like the show. This is like toward the end.
Yeah. I don't even think it did continue after that.
Yeah. That'd be like watching like Jimmy Neutron and being like, I don't remember the show being this way, because it wasn't.
The show came out after.
Yeah, lots different in the show. Anyways, the Halloween Town. It's all in all just a very fun movie because, yeah, they do that. They save the day, or they make the spell, and then, I mean, throughout the movie, you're introduced to a character, and we're going to get into spoiler territory here, so if you've never watched Halloween Town, hey, what are you doing? But also, if you care, stop here, come back later. We've shown Calabar several times, this old boyfriend of the mother's, and he's the mayor of the town, and he's very nice, and damn it, he's very charming. Ultimately, it's revealed that he is the evil entity, and his whole goal is to basically take over the human world, the world that was taken from the ghouls and the monsters and everything like that, for himself. And so we see this, like, kind of change occur where he's, like, now goes from being this charismatic person to this big bad all of a sudden, and there's the final showdown.
It's epic, damn it. Marnie's trying to put that. What do they call it? An amulet or a staff?
Merlin's talisman, I believe.
Yeah, but it's a fucking staff.
It's like a wand, yeah, that you fill up with a spell and then, or fill up with some juice. Yeah,
that classic shot of her trying to put the staff inside the Halloween Town pumpkin, which, yes, at the town square is a big-ass jack-o'-lantern statue that was not lit anymore, but, you know, you put this thing in there and it'll spread the spell.
Yeah.
And it's some good stuff. And, you know, Calabar, whoever gets to play him, I don't know his name offhand, he gets to chew it up, and he's, you know, your classic evil chuckling villain. And all the Cromwells get together.
Even Dylan.
Grandmother, the whole family, grandmother, mother, Marnie, Dylan, that son of a bitch, and Sophie, they all get together and they put their magic forward and blast Calabar into They blast him. never to be referenced again.
Calabar and them are going back and forth with their spells, and Calabar is winning. And then from behind, a beam of energy comes, and he turns around and goes, Vegeta! Yeah. Now's your chance!
Yeah, that would be a good edit.
Just do that music, too.
Yeah.
I'm perfect!
Yeah, that's funny. That's good shit. But
is Halloween Town just an anime waiting to happen? I think everything is.
I think everything is, yeah. Or is everything Halloween Town waiting to happen? Jeez.
Wait, what?
Is
every movie just a Halloween Town?
It's a nice movie. It's pretty tight.
Yeah.
You know, you said it's short.
It's made for kids too.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's innocent, fun. I love what you said. It's a cookies and milk kind of movie.
I mean, there's things in this movie that, like, make it feel real cozy in terms of, like, when Aggie Cromwell's, like, making the spell and she puts it in the microwave and presses bubble, bubble, toil and trouble, and then hits start. Yeah. Like, stuff like that. Or she's upset because she used, I don't know. It's like instant yeast kind of deal. It's like instant this. But there's something like that in that, too. That's fun. There's a lot of fun parts like that that make it, a lived-in world.
Yeah, and, you know, there's, as we mentioned, plenty of sequels. But the second one, I said never to be referenced again. However, the second one's called Halloween Town 2, Calabar's Revenge. What's his revenge? Well, Marnie gets a little crush on a boy toy. Well, boy toy turns out to be the son of Calabar, right? And that's his big revenge.
Why can't I take the word boy toy seriously? Because I just think of Darla from Little Rascals. You're my boy toy.
That's good stuff.
Cookies and milk movie.
Yes, it is. Or in our situation, when we watched the show, it was, I made fucking Ratatouille.
Yeah, what the hell?
And I sliced half my thumb off making it. Oh, but, yes, this boy toy, Cal is his name. Short for Calabar. And
that's worse than the twist. And I still know what you did last summer.
That's funny. I get that reference.
Spoilers. In I Know What You Did Last Summer, the killer's name is Ben.
The sequel. Yeah.
In the sequel, there's a character called Benson, something Benson. And at the end, he reveals he's like Benson, Ben's son. It's like, oh, okay.
That is on the nose.
What should we call this? Our character? What should I call my character, Dad? Just name yourself after me. Okay.
But yeah, so Cal is the bad guy and yada, yada, yada. But what's so charming about all this is these actors, you know, they do conventions and stuff, and Halloween Town's very popular. And anyway, it was in 2016, there was like a reunion convention thing. A lot of actors from these movies got together and they did Q&As and autograph signings and stuff. Well, the actor who played Cal and Kimberly Brown, who played Marnie, in that movie so long ago, they played like a couple kind of deal. Well, they started talking again and they started dating. And here we are in 2022, and now they're engaged to be wed.
Oh, look at that.
Now all us fangirls squee.
Yeah, well, and then when they make this new Halloween Town movie, it's going to show that Cal had a twin brother, and he was a good guy. He was a good boy.
Yeah, or she made a spell that, the spell of resurrection.
Yeah, and brought him back.
Yeah, for no reason.
Because that works well. I've seen Pet Sematary. But yikes. Yeah, indeed, this is a fun one. Pet Sematary isn't. To watch Pet Sematary with your kids. It's a great movie.
Watch Halloween Town, then watch Pet Sematary, then watch Halloween Town 2.
Buy a cat and then watch Pet Sematary. This is a great movie, great cozy Halloween movie, a must watch every year, unless you've never seen it before, then maybe not, depending on, you know, your taste for cheesy 90s made-for-TV movies.
That's the experiment that I want you spit listeners to try. If you know somebody who's never seen it, or if you haven't seen it yourself, check it out and let us know what you thought. Last year, during October Spooky Month, it might have been 2020 now that I'm thinking about it, but it was 2020. It was like Halloween must-watches, yours and mine. And I put Halloween Town on there. And I say, it was like, what do you watch every year? I don't watch this every year, but like that's on like a must-watch I would put for your October Halloween Spooky Month viewing.
Indeed. So, with that being said, anything else you want to say before we take this movie to our factory this week?
Take some risks.
Oh, okay. So, with that being said, at this point in the show, this is where we take the film we just watched and we submit it to the factory. That's where we take the film and we have a little fun with it. Maybe we'll imagine what it would look like with modern actors and actresses and new directors, etc. Or we'll take an animated film and make it live, baby, live. Or in this case today, we have two different factories, two little games that we wanted to play with this one. Gus, I will let you go first. With your factory idea here.
Here we are. We're talking Halloween Town. We've mentioned a few times with this nostalgia boom going on. What if they made another sequel to Halloween Town? What would it be called? Well, we just had Halloween Ends come out, right? The latest in the Halloween Michael Myers, you know, franchise. What if we took one of the subtitles for one of those Halloween movies and placed it with Halloween Town, the new one? Halloween Town, what?
Halloween Town 2.
I like it. H2. Ooh, that might be, I already got mine.
H-Town 2.
Yeah.
You do. It would be this. It would be Halloween, right? Halloween. But then in the town, you'd do T-W-O-N. Because it would look like Halloween Town, but it would read Halloween.
Halloween. We're a little late, though. That was 2018. That would have been H2O.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, losers. I mean, obviously, it would be Halloween Town Kills, right?
Like Halloween Town Kills.
Halloween Town Kills. Halloween Town, Soapy's Revenge.
Yeah, I mean, what's wrong with Halloween Town, The Return of Michael Myers?
Like, yeah, I'm fine with that. The Curse of Michael Myers works, too. I mean, honestly, if we're going to be honest, like Halloween Town, Season of the Witch.
That's the most likely.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to do this plot you made up where...
Halloween Town, Dream Warriors.
No, not that one. The plot where she makes a spell to bring Cal back, you know, Halloween Town Resurrection.
Hey, that's you're on to something there.
But can I give you my final answer?
Final answer, and then we'll go to mine to stem off that.
Final answer for my Halloween Town title, it would be Rob Zombie's Halloween Town.
Shit, that's good. All right, well then in Rob Zombie's Halloween Town, here's where my game comes into play. We have Halloween Town, or Rob Zombie's Halloween Town. What types of characters are you going to see in this Halloween Town? Who's walking around? Who's the broom salesman? Who's the, you know, who are all the characters that are running things in the Halloween Town, you know, like, et cetera. I'm foreseeing, like, throughout the movie, we see, like, a Michael Myers just in the background stalking. The cab driver, I'm thinking, it's got to be, like, I was torn between two. The cab driver being either, I wanted it to either be the creeper from Jeepers Creepers, just in his big van thing, or I wanted it to be the ice cream man from Ice Cream Man.
Yeah. You know what I'm gonna go with? I'm actually gonna go with the Crypt Keeper from Tales of the Crypt. Do you know that show?
Yeah.
Because he's a wisecracker, and he's also... He's basically a skeleton anyway.
Yeah.
That works. With thumbskin.
That works.
Yeah, that's who I'd go with. Who are you going with? Your ice cream man?
Ice cream man, yeah. Last one, then. Last one for that. Who would be the mayor of this Halloween Town?
Oh, man. The mayor. You know, I'm gonna go Dark Horse here, because I'm going to assume, like, you know, he had a romance with Marnie's mother, right? I'm going Chucky.
Okay. I was going to go Freddy, just because I wanted a wisecracking mayor.
Oh, yeah.
That could hit us with some fun things, and he could manipulate, I think.
Certainly could. And instead of mispronouncing or missaying Sophie's name, he would just call her bitch.
Yeah, exactly. But, alrighty, are you ready to close things out here?
Let's hop on our brooms and fly out of here.
Alrighty, so that does it for the show. We hope you enjoyed it. If you liked what you heard, be sure to check us out over on Audioboom. That's where we're a primary source, so that's where we're posting the show to first, and then subsequently it gets shipped out everywhere else. So Spotify, Google Play, Amazon, wherever you get your music and your podcasts, hey, we're there. You can also find us over on Twitter. We're at The Bros Movie Pod. That's where we'll be posting links to the show, clips of the show, and memes Gus makes, etc., etc. You can also find us over on Facebook.
Hey, go to Facebook, type in The Brothers Movie Factory, take the bus to Halloween Town. We stop at The Brothers Movie Factory on the way. I like to make memes for watching each and every week, and I include links to the things Ben mentioned a moment ago, like Audioboom, Spotify, Twitter, and that.
So that is the show. We hope you enjoyed it, but until next week, brothers.
Brothers.
Brothers.